ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Romans 1, 16 through 17.
That was good. How do you bring about change? So recently, Gillette, the men's shaving company, came out with an ad that's caused quite a stir. The gist of the ad is basically that men need to do better, to be better. In light of the Me Too movement and other cultural events, the ad is basically encouraging men to stop bullying, to treat women with respect, and just avoid toxic masculinity. And there's been a lot of reaction to this ad. I think the ad has a positive message, and certainly men can always use more positive and encouraging messages to be better men, right? But thank you for that. But the ad does bring up a question. The question is, how do you bring about change? It's obvious that Gillette realizes that change needs to happen, that men need to live better in some form or fashion. But how do you bring that about? How do you bring about change? Change is a popular word in our society. We see something going on in our society, we want to change it. And we see stuff on social media and on the media in general, and how people are trying to change things. So they sign a petition, or they start a grassroots movement, or they vote for a certain politician, or they try to get certain laws passed, thinking if we do these things, it'll bring about change. And yet, despite all of these efforts, the change never seems to take root. How do you bring about change? Or maybe you see something in your own life, and you realize that needs to change. And so we set a New Year's resolution, and we set some goals, and we tell someone, hold me accountable so that I can do better at this. And then February comes, and we fall flat on our face, and we think, how do you bring about change? Or we see something here in church that we think, that needs to be better. And so we get together a committee. That's never going to work, okay? You get together a committee to try to change it. And progress seems to be slow. And we think, how do you bring about change? You see, the problem with change, if it's really going to be true and long-lasting change, it has to happen first and foremost in your heart. Something has to come into your heart to bring about change. And what is it that can come into our hearts and truly bring change and transformation? Well, last week, we cast our vision for the year that we want to be a church becoming a gospel community. That what unites us as a community, what brings us together, what forms us, what we're centered on, is that we're a group of people who believe these things about Jesus, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised, and that he appeared, and that he's alive today. Well, something that's interesting about the gospel message is that oftentimes in the New Testament, when Paul is talking about the gospel, he connects the gospel with power. Gospel and power. So, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, Paul says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. I want you to say that word with me. Power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. And then later, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Then later, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, he says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then our text that Luke read to us, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone. That over and over again, Paul is making this point that the gospel has power. And the power of the gospel is not in the words. It's not in the message. It's not in the messenger. The power in the gospel is in the actions that Christ did. Someone put it this way. It says, the power of the gospel is not words that impact our mind, but works that impact our situation. I think there's a lot of truth in that. That there were some works, some actions that Christ did, that he did on earth, and those actions, they have power. So Christ came to earth. God became flesh, incarnated himself, and came to earth. And in doing that, there was significance in that because he was engaging, God was engaging creation. He was engaging our broken world. So this past Monday, I was at McDonald's, kind of like Andrew. I was at McDonald's, and I just happened, I didn't mean to, but I happened to get into an hour-long conversation with two Jehovah's Witnesses, and they came to me. I didn't come to them, and I found out in that conversation that they did not believe that God had become flesh. They didn't believe that God had actually engaged creation. And that there's power in the incarnation, because what it says to us, what we believe is the gospel, is that God has come and become flesh and engaged this broken world in which we live in. And then Christ died on the cross. And that action has significance because, according to Paul, it was in that action on the cross that all of the powers and principalities of this dark world have been defeated. That it's Christ's faithfulness and suffering that has overcome the power of sin. Sin that doesn't have power anymore because of Christ's faithfulness and suffering at the cross. He proclaimed victory over the powers of this world. And then 3 days later, he was raised from the grave. There was an empty tomb when those women went there. And that act has power because that opened the door for new creation. And so in the midst of this broken world and broken creation, there is new creation that is beginning. And the resurrection power is spreading. And there is hope for newness. And then Christ ascended back up to the Father. And that ascension has significance. It has power because what it means is that now Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and all authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. There is no one that has more power than Jesus Christ. That's what the ascension means. That he is king over all. And so the gospel message, the power of the gospel is in the works of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did, now we can have sin and death. The power of sin and death can be broken. Now there's hope for new creation underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Romans 1, verses 16 and 17 says that power that comes from those gospel events, it's accessed through faith. Through faith. That when we have faith in Jesus and in the gospel, the power of the gospel starts to come into our life. Now, that word faith, I want to talk about it for a second, because we use the word faith a lot in our culture, and sometimes because of the way we use it, it can be really fuzzy on what we actually mean. I'm thinking of George Michael, for example. Remember that song, "You Gotta Have Faith, Faith, Faith"? You remember that? Nobody listened to that song, apparently. Okay. It's back in the 90s, okay? But, you know, what does that song mean? You gotta have faith, faith, faith. What does that mean? Got to have faith in what? How do you just have faith? What does that actually mean? Well, Matthew Bates, in his book that I talk about in my bulletin article, Salvation by Allegiance Alone, he argues that sometimes when we use the word faith, we don't really get at what the original writers in the New Testament are talking about when they use the word faith. He says maybe a better word to use there is allegiance. Because what really faith is about, it's about commitment, it's about loyalty, it's about submission and surrender. And so if I'm going to have faith in Jesus, if I'm going to have faith in the gospel, it's saying, I am going to surrender my life to the lordship of Jesus. I'm going to submit myself to King Jesus, and I'm going to live under his reign. And the place where we declare that we are doing that is in the waters of baptism. Baptism is the place where we say, I'm on the Lord's side, and I'm submitting to Jesus' kingship, I'm submitting to his rule, that I have faith in him and what he has done for me. And in that act of baptism, when we come out, we are accessing, because of our faith, we're accessing the very power of God. And when we come up out of our baptism, now the power of sin and death does not hold sway over us anymore. Instead, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be a new creation. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect from that point on. It doesn't mean that we're never going to stumble or fall or make mistakes or sin. But what it does mean is that now transformation and change has begun. Through the power of the gospel, we can start the process of becoming new. I mentioned also in that bulletin article a book that I've been reading by Michael Gorman. I love this book. It's very academic, though, so let me just prepare you for that. But I really love what some of the things he talks about, because what he says that when Paul went about the Asia Minor preaching the message that Jesus had died and was buried and was raised, that what he was trying to do was not just get people to believe the gospel, to agree with those things. He was trying to get people to become the gospel. And what Gorman means by that, he says that when we access the gospel through faith, when we profess allegiance and are baptized, that the gospel should come into our lives and it should begin to transform us to where we actually become the gospel, where we actually become the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We start living that out. And Gorman would say that the very best witness to the gospel is a group of people who are demonstrating the gospel in their life. That when people can see the change and transformation happening in someone's life because of the power of the gospel, that's a witness to the world. We've got to become the gospel. And here's where the good news is. Because as I said earlier, our world is in need of change. And big corporations like Gillette even agree with that. They see there needs to be transformation and change, but nobody knows how to bring it about. And the message of the New Testament is that change and transformation comes about through the power of the gospel to change our hearts. That's how you change. It's through the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes into our hearts. And the way that the power of the gospel works is it doesn't give us a heart bypass. It gives us a heart transplant. It takes our hearts that are diseased with the cancer of sin and death, and it removes that heart. And it puts in its place a heart full of the Holy Spirit. And that heart starts to beat. And the Holy Spirit's power that resurrected Jesus, it starts flowing through our veins. And as it starts to do that, we start to change and experience transformation. And that's the good news, that God can give you a new heart and you can be different in Christ Jesus because of the gospel. And whenever that starts to happen in your life and in my life, in all of our lives, we have a word for that, and that word is revival. Say that with me, revival. Tim Keller, in his book, Center Church, he says that revival is simply a season in the church's life where there is gospel renewal. That's what 2019 is to be about here at Southside. Gospel renewal. Revival. I hope this year you'll join me in praying, Lord, bring revival to our church. Let the gospel to start transforming our hearts here in our church. And you can always tell when revival is starting to happen because people start repenting of sin. They start confessing sin in their life. They start turning it over to Jesus. They start being baptized into Christ. And we've already seen a number of baptisms over the past 10, 15 days. It's going to be a great year, church. It's going to be a great year. You start seeing people change and be different. And all of a sudden, we say, wow, you're different. It's revival. Gospel's changing my heart. And we need revival in our church, Lord. That's our prayer. Lord, bring revival. Bring revival to our teens. Bring revival to our college and young adults. Bring revival to our Hope Ministry. Bring revival to our deaf ministry. Bring revival to our empty nesters and to our young families. Bring revival to our older folks. That's to be our prayer. Lord, bring revival and start it with me. Start it with me because the gospel has power. And when the gospel comes into our hearts, that's what happens. It brings revival to us all. And it's because of that focus that this summer I'm going to preach on revival. I'm going to preach about Ezra and Nehemiah and how revival comes to God's people. And it's because of that focus that this summer we're going to be a part of the Crusade for Christ. Because we want to see revival come to this city. Amen? It's because of that focus this fall, I'm going to preach a series of lessons on the gospel, just basic lessons on the gospel. And I want to encourage you to invite your friends and neighbors to come and to hear these lessons. But also want you to hear these lessons because I want us to hear the gospel afresh. Because when we hear the gospel afresh, it comes into our heart. And there's revival. Here's the best part about revival. It can come to anyone. And this was what Paul was saying in Romans 1. In verse 14, he says, I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. And that's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Paul's saying, it doesn't matter if you're Greek or non-Greek, doesn't matter if you're wise or foolish, doesn't matter if you've got a college education or you never graduated high school, doesn't matter if you're old or if you're young, doesn't matter if you speak English first language or speak Spanish first language, doesn't matter if you're hearing or non-hearing, blind or seeing, it doesn't matter who you are, revival can come to you. That's the good news of the gospel. It's for everybody. Nobody's excluded. That when we access the gospel in faith and allegiance, the gospel can come into our lives and our hearts can be changed. All of us in this room. And Paul says, it's because of that truth. I'm not ashamed of preaching it. I'll go anywhere and I'll preach it to anyone because anyone can experience the revival that comes through Jesus Christ. And that's our hope for 2019. Lord, bring that revival to all of us. To all of us. Well, maybe exhibit A of what I'm talking about today is the story of Cheryl Marshall. Many of you know Cheryl. She's been a part of our church for over 3 years now, I believe. And her story is that because of certain relationships in her life, and because of some alcohol struggles, she found herself in prison, in jail in Johnson County. And when she got in jail in Johnson County, there were some people from the West Hill Church of Christ who went into the jail there to begin to teach the Bible in that jail. Now, those people who went to teach the Bible in jail, they were trained by our jail teachers here at Southside. And they went in to the jail there in Johnson County, and Cheryl started going to those Bible lessons, started learning more about Jesus, and she professed allegiance in Jesus. She surrendered to Jesus. She was baptized in a trough in Johnson County Jail. Isn't that cool? But she gets out of jail. She comes to Fort Worth, and she comes to the Hope Ministry here at Southside. She starts coming to the classes, starts participating in the life of the church, and the resurrection power started flowing through her veins. And things started to change in her life. There started to be transformation. She got a job. She got a car. She started to restore relationships in her life to the point where this past Christmas, for the first time since she had gotten out of jail, she was able to spend Christmas with members of her own family. And she told me, she said, that was the best Christmas I've had in a long time. He said, because I had peace. I had peace. And after Christmas, one of those family members wrote Cheryl a card. Here's what it said on that card. It said, Cheryl, the turnaround I have seen in you has been a true miracle. I'm glad you found God and his true path. I'm sorry it took it all it did to get there, but the narrow path is not easily trod. Keep your eyes on him And may your journey home continue to bring you joy. Let me read that first line again. The turnaround I have seen in you has been a true miracle. I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, because it is the power of God to save everyone who believes. And may we pray that in 2019 there will be more miracles as revival comes to our church. Let us pray. Lord, bring revival. And let that revival start with me. Let the power of the gospel come into our hearts and give us a heart transplant. And let there be change, true, lasting change. Change that people can see, that where we're more like Jesus and we're living more like Him. And it's not because of me, and it's not because of the elders, it's not because of the other ministers, it's because of the power of the gospel living in us. God, you did something in Jesus when He came to earth and died and was raised. And so now, Lord, do something in us by your Spirit. Change us and bring revival. And may there be more stories of miracles that other people can witness as they see, wow, something is different there. And I want to learn more about what that is. This is our prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we all say together, amen. Our ministers and elders are going to surround the auditorium at this time. If you need prayer, encouragement, please walk to them and they will pray with you. If you want to be baptized into Christ, profess your allegiance in Jesus and receive the power of the gospel in your life so that transformation can begin in you, we would love to baptize you today. Just come up to the front during this song. We will help you. We will encourage you. Please come now as together we stand and sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than so? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power. Power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb. working power.